so meaningful. And I think one of the things that was very special was the Jewish unity that was going on there. Lots of very different types of Jews were in that shul. You had Hasidim, you had groups from Israel, groups from America. And everyone was in the same shul and davening together. One of the kids on the trip told me something very profound. She said that she came into the shul and she needed to go to the bathroom. So she asked one of the girls there, "Can you tell me where the bathroom is?" So that girl didn't understand English and she didn't understand Hebrew. So the girl said something to her, she couldn't understand it. Tried hand motions, couldn't understand. But then when everyone started to daven, that girl opened up the sitter, she opened up the sitter, and they were davening the same davening. She said, "I found it so cool. We couldn't talk to each other, but we could daven together." Right? And it was a beautiful thought that, you know, there's something deeper than culture or language that can connect Jews, that we can open up the same sitter, we can all daven together. And that was a very profound experience in Krakow to daven together.
I sort of felt that way in the Beit Yitzchak in Hebron, Chaya Sarah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, of course, everyone spoke English or Hebrew, but there's so many different kinds of Jews.
Right.
There.
Yeah, so it was very... It's very moving. So let's learn a little bit about Pesach, because this is the season now, Shloshim Yom Kodom L'Chag, 30 days before Pesach. We're supposed to prepare for Pesach. God willing, next Monday night we'll have a special treat. Rabbi Aaron Goldscheider, he used to be a rabbi here in Mount Kisco, New York, and he moved to Israel, made Aliyah. So he put out a very beautiful Haggadah called The Night That Unites, all about Divrei Torah from Rav Kook and Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Shlomo Kalbach, and bringing it all together. So he'll give highlights from the Haggadah, God willing, next week, Monday night at this time. So let's start in terms of preparing for Pesach. So here's a thought from Rav Mordechai Zilber, the Stachina Rebbe. So when you think about Pesach, right away what strikes us that's so interesting is the severity of the prohibition of chametz. Torah says that we're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. Anyone who eats chametz on Pesach has violated a sin on a par with violating Yom Kippur. But then the Torah goes past that. The Torah says, not only can't you eat chametz on Pesach, you can't even own chametz on Pesach. You can't see any of your chametz. You can't have any of your chametz found in your home. And then you have tremendous stringencies about chametz. The sages said that if on Pesach a little bit of chametz falls into a mixture, the whole mixture is prohibited. We don't have the normal rule of bittul berov, that the majority overwhelms the minority. The entire mixture becomes prohibited. So why is it that on chametz we have so many stringencies and such extreme care not to have any little trace of chametz? There are other laws of Pesach. They don't get more stringencies than normal. I mean, there's a law to eat maror, there's a law to observe Yom Tov. Well, Yom Tov of Pesach is like any other Yom Tov. The maror is a mitzvah. Those who are stricter will eat more, those who are more lenient will eat less, but we don't have this widespread practice of let's look for as many stringencies as we can find, which we have with chametz. So what is it about chametz? There's this tremendous, tremendous stringency about chametz. So Rabbi Silver suggested, why is a Pesach called Pesach? So the Torah says the word Pesach means to jump over. God jumped over the doorways. We'll read this week in Parshas HaChodesh that Hashem gave a mitzvah to take to take the sheep and to slaughter them and to take the blood of the sheep and put it on the doorposts. And when Hashem saw the blood on the doorposts, he jumped over The doorposts and the Jewish people were spared, while the Egyptians and every Egyptian home, the firstborn Egyptian died in the plague of the death of the firstborn. So the Hasidim say another thing. Pasach Hashem ala Pasach, God jumped over the opening. God jumped over the fact that there normally needs to be an opening. That even though normally we need to open up to get closer to God, God jumped over that opening and he said, you belong to me and you're attached to me. So what is the opening to get to God? Rashi tells us that the verse says in Yeshayahu, Ki beka Hashem tzur olamim, for with the letters Yud and He, God formed universes. So Rashi says that the future world, the coming world, was formed with the letter Yud, and the current reality, the present world, was formed with the letter He. Why the letter He? So if we look at the shape of the letter He, so the letter He is like this. So we have a dalid and then a long vav. So there's a little opening at the top of the vav and a large opening at the base of the hay. So the Pesach, the doorway, is this opening at the very, very top. This little opening at the very top is the doorway how to get in to get close to Hashem. That's why Hashem made the physical world with the letter He to symbolize that we go in a little doorway. We have a Gemara. The Gemara says, Atem pischuli Pesach kechudo shel machat. You open up for me an opening like the sharpness of a needle. A needle makes a little opening. Vani and I will eftach lachem Pesach kepischo shel ulam. I'll open up for you an opening like the opening of a big palace. In other words, we just need to go into a little bit of an opening. Once we get in with that little bit of an opening, Hashem then makes it very big. Hashem opens it up in a very, very big way. So what does that mean that we go into a little opening? Right? And that Pesach is the time when God jumped over even that opening. Even though we didn't do that, he still took us. What is this little opening? The beginning is from the little bit of an opening. So maybe the explanation is like this. The real way to begin is from a little attraction, from a little sentiment. And when there's that sentiment that's pulling us to God, even though it's not thought out, it's not understood, it's not rooted, just a little bit of an attraction to want to be close to God, to be part of the Jewish people, that little bit of an attraction, just a needle opening that I'm pulling towards God, I'm attracted there, that's the opening. That once we have that opening, we can get to everything else. If we're pulled a little bit to the Almighty, then everything else can follow. And that's the challenge of opening a little bit, to have that little sense, you know what? I feel that I'm drawn a little bit more to holiness, and I'm pulled there to the right place. And the fact that I'm pulled a little bit more to the right place, that already brings me into the world of holiness, for many, many, many levels of growth, and stages, and going from place to place. Maybe that's why chametz, the prohibition of chametz, is about a little fraction. Don't have a little bit of chametz. Because the whole idea of chametz is we have to care about the little movement. The little movement to God counts. So therefore, even a little movement on the wrong side also counts. The whole idea of focusing on a small little fraction is to teach me to treasure a small little movement towards God. And a small little movement towards God, that already gets me to the right place. So here's an amazing thing. What do we eat on Pesach? We eat matzah. So matzah is the letter men, then a tzadi. And then we have a hay. What we don't eat on Pesach is chametz. Chametz is a ches, a men, and a tzadi. So it's the same letters, mem tzadi. The only difference is that in matzah there's a hey, and in chametz there's a ches. The difference between a hey and a ches is that the ches doesn't have that little opening. The ches is the same as the hey, it's the same shape. The only difference is that when you take the hay, the vav of the hay, and you lift it to the top, it then becomes a ches. The difference between matzah and chametz is that in matzah, there's the little opening at the top of the hay. If you take away the little opening, what you're left is with chametz. The theme of Pesach, and this is why it's so severe to have even a little bit of chametz, is because the whole theme of Pesach is, Pesach is the beginning of our whole relationship with God. This is the first holiday. This is what when we were saved and we became His nation. At the very beginning, all God says is, you want to start? Just a little crack for me. Just give me a little crack. A little bit of me more than anything else. That you're drawn to me. A little bit of an attraction to me. A little bit... It's an attraction, though, that's not, you know, thought out and with a lot of knowledge or a lot of action. It's just a little pull. It's the little opening. If there's no opening, then it becomes chametz. The hay becomes a ches. Then it becomes chametz. But if there's a little bit of an opening and you're pulling to me, then you have the matzah. And with the matzah, you can get closer to the Almighty. And you can start going from level to level and eventually reaching where we should reach. So maybe we could even have hints to this. The word, the halacha, that even a little bit of chametz is problematic is called mashu chametz. A little bit of chametz. So we know that in Hebrew, every letter has a numeric value. If we take the numeric value of the words mashu chametz, it equals 489. 489 is one more than the word Pesach, opening. Opening is 488. There's an opening. It's a little opening. You add one little more, so now you've blocked the opening. That's the mashu chametz, a little bit of chametz. If we take away that little attraction, the little pull, we take that away, then we've blocked it all up. And we can't get past it. And so maybe we can go even further. The word mashu, a little something, equals in Gematria 351, which is the same as the word Enosh. Enosh was the human being who started idolatry. The idolatry starts with closing up that little opening towards God, closing that little pull to God. And instead being idolatrous or arrogant. So we have to get rid of that. And when we get rid of that, we say, no, the chametz is not real. The chametz is like dust. So if we go to the words afar chametz, that equals the gematria of the word Pesach, an opening. We get rid of the chametz, and we get back to the opening. So the idea, perhaps, of why there's such a severity about chametz, even a little bit of chametz matters, is because Pesach is the beginning. At the beginning, we start with the holy opening, and the holy opening is the opening at the top of the hay of matzah, a little bit of an attraction to God. It's a small thing, so a little bit of the wrong can fill it up already. And we have to overcome the chametz and go after the Almighty and try to get closer to God. Now, there was a terrible opposition to the attraction to the Almighty. And there was really a twofold opposition. One source of opposition was Amalek. The Jewish people are traveling to Har Sinai. Vayavo Amalek. Amalek comes and attacks the Jewish people. Bilam described Amalek as Reishis Goyim Amalek. The first of the nations is Amalek. He's attacking that beginning, that attraction. But another source of great opposition was Egypt, Mitzrayim. The Egyptians were attacking us when Hashem wanted us to be understood as B'ni B'chori Yisrael, my son, my firstborn, the Jewish people, that beginning of holiness. So why do we have two oppositions? And what's the meaning of the two oppositions? So here's an idea from Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner says that there are two oppositions to the Jewish people. One is in terms of exile, and one is in terms of nations. In terms of exile, so the first of all the exiles is Egypt. That was the first exile. That was the root of all the exiles. In terms of nations, so there are 70 nations that are opposing the Jewish people. I mean, look at the UN. They're always opposing us, unfortunately. The root of the nations that opposes us is Amalek. So when we look at things in the perspective of a place, we'd say that the root is Egypt. When we look from the perspective of personalities, we say that the root is Amalek. That can explain something very interesting. In terms of place, the Jewish people belong in the land of Israel. The Torah says about the land of Israel that it's the land that God has chosen for himself. Eretz asher enei Hashem Elokecha ba, the land that God's eyes are upon it. Mereishit shana ad achrit shana. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, God is looking at the land of Israel. God is watching the land of Israel. The land of Israel is the place directly under the supervision of God. And that's why the Torah sets up as the opposite of the land of Israel, Egypt. Egypt is the place that's the opposite of the land of Israel. So for example, we have a mitzvah to move to the land of Israel, to settle the land of Israel. There's one place on earth where God says you're not allowed to move to. That's Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. You've left Egypt, don't go back to Egypt. You're not allowed to live in Egypt. The Torah says that the land of Israel is a land that needs water, needs rain. You have to daven, you have to realize that your hold in Israel is tenuous, you need rain, you need to ask God for rain. And Egypt is a land that never gets rain. Egypt is a land that has the Nile. They never daven. They don't ever pray because they have the Nile. They have the water. They don't feel that sense of dependence. They don't have that gift. So the land of Israel, what's unique about the land of Israel, it's the place where not only do we have the opportunity to believe certain beliefs about God, but to carry out those beliefs in action, to build up a land and to settle a land. The land of Israel is where the ideals of religion come to the realm of action. And unfortunately, when we lost the land of Israel, we went into exile. And the first of all the exiles was the exile in Egypt. But besides the fact that there's a place that's antithetical to Jewish growth, there are certain nations that, regardless of place, oppose the Jewish people. And that is rooted in Amalek. That's why Bilam said, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is the first of the nations. Egypt is the first of the exiles, but Amalek is the first of the nations. And Amalek you can have all over. You can have Haman, who's from Amalek, talking to Ahasuerus in Shushan, which is Media. That's not any location. Amalek can be found in any place. So we know that there's a tradition that in writing the sentence Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, in the Sefer Torah, two of those letters are big. The Ayin of Shema is big, hear Israel, and the Dalet of Echad, God is one. So in Gematria, Ayin equals 70, a and Dalet equals 4. Because there are two oppositions to us. There's the opposition of the 70 nations, the nations listed in the end of Parshas Noach. And there's the opposition of the 4 exiles. These are two oppositions. But when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we say here Israel, God is our Lord, God is one. We affirm that God is one. So if you take the ayin and the dalet and you put it together, you get the word aid, testimony. We say testimony that God is one. We testify that God is one, and in that way, we overcome both the opposition of the nations, as well as the opposition of the places, as well as the opposition of the exiles. So when we talk about, you know, leaving Egypt, so some aspects of leaving Egypt is getting away from the place of Egypt and getting to the land of Israel, getting to carrying out Torah and mitzvot. And then there is another element. When we got out of Egypt, it was also giving us some ability to overcome Amalek and to overcome the nations that oppose the Jewish nation. Now, we didn't fully merit to overcome Amalek, because we didn't stay in Egypt as long as we were supposed to be in Egypt. We weren't in Egypt for the full 400 years. We were only there for 210 years. So we didn't fully, you know, accomplish what we were supposed to accomplish. And God took us out of Egypt, even though we weren't deserving, because we didn't reach the levels that we were supposed to reach. In the future redemption, then we will have deserved redemption, and then God will allow us to fully and completely defeat Amalek. So maybe the 30 days that we're supposed to be preparing for Pesach is 30 days of us engaging in effort and earning a redemption. In Egypt, we got a redemption that we didn't deserve. So we weren't able to wipe out Amalek. But every year when we prepare for Pesach, when we learn the laws, when we prepare ourselves emotionally for Pesach, that's our way of wiping out Amalek. Then we're building ourselves up. And by building ourselves up for these 30 days, perhaps we're succeeding in pushing Amalek aside. Now in 30 days, if you have 24 hours in each day, so how many hours do you have in total over 30 days? You have in total 720 hours. So the 720 hours equals the word Amalek times 3. Because there are 240 in the word Amalek. So times 3 would be 720. So we have to get rid of Amalek. We have to get rid of Amalek. Now the Torah uses three words about it. The Torah says, Zachor, remember Amalek. Al tishkach, don't forget. And Timche, and erase. And we know that life is divided into speech, thought, and action. We have to get rid of Amalek in speech, thought, and action. We have to get rid of all that Amalek is about. And through working on ourselves, then we're able to be ready to get rid of Amalek. And so maybe that's another aspect of getting rid of chametz. We get rid of every trace of chametz, just like we have to get rid of every trace of Amalek. When we think about getting rid of Amalek, we have to get rid of the roots of Amalek, or the roots of idolatry. And when we get rid of the roots of idolatry, then we are preparing ourselves to merit to really get out of Egypt and to really prepare not only for this redemption, but for the final redemption as well. Now, another idea in terms of why there's such severity about chametz is that chametz represents arrogance. And we have to really take a sledgehammer to arrogance. We have to be humble people and in great humility try to serve the Almighty. I saw an amazing story when we were in Poland that one of the Hasidic rabbis of Poland, the Rizhina Rebbe, talking to another Hasidic Rebbe of Poland, the Varka Rebbe. He said, let's give each other blessings. said, I give you a blessing that you should fear God. So the other rabbi said, okay, I give you the same blessing too. I give you a blessing that you should fear God. So 3 months later, they met again. And the Rishner said, I'm a bigger rebbe than you. I said, what do you mean you're a bigger rebbe than me? He said, because my blessing came true and your blessing didn't. My blessing that you should fear God came true. But your blessing that I should fear God didn't come true. I don't fear God. So I'm a bigger rebbe than you. So it's like a circle. It doesn't make any sense. If I don't fear God, how am I a big rebbe? But I'm a bigger rebbe than you because my blessing comes true and your blessing doesn't. So what is he saying? He's saying like this. You told me I should fear God. You blessed me that I should be able to fear God. But I know I don't fear God. So I'm broken. If I'm broken, I'm humble. If I'm humble, my blessings come true. So I'm a bigger rebbe than you. My blessings come true because I'm broken over the fact that I don't fear God. And that's the real source of being able to give a blessing, is to know that I can't give the blessing because on my own, I don't even fear God. So who am I to give a blessing? The real goal is to try to get to great humility. And through humility, then we merit to get closer to Hashem. That's a big part of the difference between matzah and chametz. Matzah is very thin, it's humble. Chametz is dough that has risen, it's inflated, it's arrogant. Amalek in Gematria is 240. The word 240 also equals the word rum, which means exalted. Amalek is very exalted. He feels very proud about who he is and how great he is. And that's our challenge. We have to break that concept and get rid of it entirely, to be very, very humble. And with tremendous humility, then we're able to get closer to Hashem and to serve Hashem and to reach Hashem. And maybe that's connected to the fact that on Pesach, there's a theme of getting rid of idolatry. The Karban Pesach was a lamb, and the Egyptians used to worship the lamb. So here we took the lamb, their god, and we weren't afraid of it, and we were willing to slaughter it, and not only slaughter it, even take the blood from it, put it on our doorpost, completely reject it, not in any way be afraid of what they were so afraid of. And that's all part of getting rid of idolatry. This was an idolatrous practice to worship a lamb. And we were slaughtering the idolatry. We were getting rid of it entirely. And maybe that's connected to getting rid of chametz. We have to get rid of arrogance. We have to get rid of any trace of arrogance. We have to uproot the Amalek. Amalek represents arrogance. And we need to get rid of the arrogance and instead be humble and submissive and connected to God and pulled to God. And that's what the land of Israel tried to push us towards. The land of Israel, for the fact that it needed rain all the time, made us realize that we couldn't feel so secure. How could we feel so secure? If heaven forbid, there won't be rain, there won't be crops, nothing's going to grow, we're not going to succeed, we're going to starve to death. It's not like in Egypt. In Egypt, they can imagine that they don't need anything, that they have the Nile, that they're secure, that they have wealth, they have power. But we who are not in Egypt, we who are in the land of Israel, we know we're very dependent. And that sense of dependence does an enormous amount to make us realize that we are humble and we can't be arrogant. And with that humility, we get rid of Amalek and we get rid of the Chametz. So maybe we can suggest that there are a whole series of ideas in terms of why on Pesach we're so careful about even a little trace of chametz. On the one level, it's that to remind us we should have a little bit of an attraction to God and not allow that little bit of chametz to extinguish the little bit of an attraction. It's also to teach us to wipe out idolatry, to wipe out Amalek, to wipe out arrogance, to be very, very humble. And when we're very humble, that's the opening that enables us to get closer to God, to be chosen by God, and hopefully to become His nation, and worthy not just of the past redemption, but of a future redemption as well. Thank you for making the time.
You must be tired. I just flew back and I'm exhausted. I'm